Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, I hear that you've got some really good goss on the footy draft, but not originally for the AFL, the BLNG.
Well,
I think you should let all our listeners know what you've
heard
going
on. Couple rumours during the week.
Yes.
Reece Rysart, I hope I said that right, ex-North Adelaide, filling one of the vacancies at Barossa District.
At Barossa. Now, how many of the Barossa boys are on the move, do you think?
Well, I know Obstie's retired.
I'm not too sure about Shillabeer.
Oh, right. I'm not too sure. He was looking for a coaching spot, whether it's junior coaching or senior coaching. I know that for a fact. Whether he'll stay at Barossa and coach the Colts or B-grade or something like that. But looking just to get his dabble in the coaching.
Yep.
Another one is Angaston are on the move, Rick.
Oh, are they?
Jay Shannon to coach, ex-Port Adelaide, ex-North Adelaide. Been around the last couple of years. He's played in a couple other country associations. One was Harndorf, I know that. And Steve Summerton, ex-Port Maggie captain, going to Angaston.
Gee,
next year.
They must have, somebody must have got some money out of the vaults up there.
Well, and I only heard last night, more to come.
More to come.
With no names mentioned.
Well, I hope they don't pay a sign-on fee or say,
finish up. Someone's got in trouble
with the
there.
Donnies.
Right? And the rumour has it, Angus Kurtz will retire. Two operations on the leg. Did almost lose the leg. Coming good now, out of hospital, but only on the mend. So he'll more than likely, I believe, will retire. So,
well, that would mean that the Maggies would be looking for a ruckman, wouldn't they?
You might have to come out of retirement myself.
Well, what about your relative who went to Kapunda?
Yeah, well,
they
he could be.
Get him back.
Yes, big Aaron Whistler.
I tell you he's not the worst ruckman I've seen.
No, he goes all right.
He does.
Yeah, he's a good footballer.
He is.
Whether he comes home, I don't know. I haven't talked to Aaron, so that could be a possibility.
Well, Phil, that's really good information this early in the...
Yes, it's happening in the Barossan light already. The cricket season's only just started.
Yeah, it's only one day down and you're coming up with next season's footy already.
Well, we've got a little bit of AFL draft while we're on the footy quickly, Rick.
Yep. What have you got?
I see Chaddie Wingart looking to go to the Hawks.
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I don't quite understand what's going on down there.
Mm.
He seems as though he wants to go to the Hawks. Port don't really know whether they want him or not, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
interesting one.
It is because it's not as though... I think he becomes a restricted free agent
next year.
But he's actually got 2 years of a contract.
Yeah,
I'm
not sure how it all works, but I believe that you're on the mark.
I think he's been listening to the Beatles' old song, Money Honey. I think that's what he's really after.
I think Porter in the winning position, if he does go, getting Burton and pick 15,
you're pretty impressed with this Burton, aren't
I
you?
Like him.
Yeah.
Bit bigger than Chaddie, but a real opportunist and plays midfield, back, forward. Just that little good size, a good size, what Port would need.
Well, I think they do. They're certainly going to need a couple of midfielders if Wingard and Pollock go.
Yeah,
Pollock's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Simple.
And, of course, their old mate on half bat, Pittard.
That's right. Well,
gone too. Not sorry about that one, I can't say.
No, I will admit that I haven't lost a lot of sleep over that one.
Frustrating.
Now, while we're talking about midfielders and so forth, Phil, have you caught up with these new rule changes in the AFL?
You have mentioned it to me, Rick, and I can't really work some of them out, to be honest. So can you run them through to me?
Well, I'll mention a couple of them, and then I think you as the umpiring expert should make a comment on them.
Okay.
If we start with the starting zones, I know we're not playing netball, and at last, for the first time ever, I think you'll find, for the first time ever on a football field, there is a real use of the 50-metre arc because it's never been part of any rules. Whereas now, for next season in the AFL, you've got to have six blokes in each of the three areas, the two zones, right? So, and six in the middle. So you can't, what do you reckon?
I don't like it because occasionally you do have to defend. Let's face it, you've got to have that, might have to have that extra player back. I hate it when you look down the one end and there's not one player in sight and you've got the whole lot up the other end. There's nothing worse than that.
That's true.
But I don't believe that, I don't think it will work. I don't like it.
Well, it'll be interesting. It is only at the instant of the start of each quarter.
Yeah, and then after you can goal go. Is so scored, you could then run down quickly and
correct
defend. It might work. That's not the worst one of the lot that you've talked to me about.
Well, tell me about, what do you think about the runners and the water boys?
Well, we're going to have another couple of people on the bench just monitoring the runners. 45 seconds on the ground.
45 seconds.
Who's going to time that? They can't even get the interchange right.
And they, you know, how many, there's heaps of water boys or water girls. How many timers are you going to have for each of those? Then I assume you've got to have a timer for the two prescribed runners.
Of course you would. Because if they're on the same time, how are you going to time them both?
You'd want Boldy to be your runner, wouldn't you? Because he's only got 45 seconds to get out there and get off again.
I tell you what, I don't know. But it won't work.
The other thing that amazes me is that they haven't actually mentioned, let's assume that there has to be a penalty. They actually haven't spelled it out. One can only assume it's a free kick. But where's the free kick going to be from?
Well, that's right. Where the play is
Or is it where the play is? Is it where the runner is?
Well, I don't know. They have to work that out, won't they?
Well, they are.
I might put it down for one of those jobs as a timer of the runner.
I reckon.
It'd probably be 100 grand a year.
I would think so. You'd have to be, you'd want to make sure you don't get RSI in your thumb, though, wouldn't you, pressing that?
No, I mean, that's ridiculous.
And we've got the hands in the old back concept back.
You can do that now. So
that'll be interesting to see how an umpire can interpret whether the bloke in front is actually backing back or the bloke behind is going forward.
Here we go again.
We've only taken 12 years to sort that out, and we've gone back 12 years.
Now we're back to where we were. No, don't like it again.
The one I do think is reasonable is, particularly since this around the corner, as it were, goal kicking has become the way, that after the kick for the goal after the siren, you're allowed to come off that. See, if you did that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, run around.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not objecting to that.
No, no. I mean, why couldn't you? Why should you have to come straight in when you don't have to normally?
Yeah.
I can't see that.
What about the goal kicking in from the goal square after a point?
And what do they want to bring in?
Well, you don't have to kick it yourself any longer.
What, just kick in?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, how do you know whether he's played on or not?
I assume
you just run out the square do you? Or what?
I assume you run out the square, bounce it when you reckon you're up
to it. No, that won't work. How does that work?
I don't know.
I think they've got a bit of work to do there, Rick.
Philip, there's some very wise men chasing these decisions.
I hope they're not on too much money over there in the AFL.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it all works out.
No, I don't like too many of those, Rick.
Amazing thing is that we've been critical over the years that there wouldn't be another game in the world that an umpire has to make so many interpretations
Keep changing.
Well, that's right.
Now the ruckman's allowed to take the ball out the ruck. Yeah. Well, I can't see what was wrong with that in the first place.
Right.
And then they stopped it. Now they want to bring it back. I mean, why change it all the time? Just leave it alone.
Very, very interesting.
Well, Rick, I'm excited.
Why?
The Sheffield Shield starts tomorrow.
It does.
New South Wales. I can't wait.
South Australia versus New South Wales on Adelaide Oval.
And what about Callum Ferguson, the run-making machine? Is that right, Rick, or have I blown that out of proportion?
Philip, I know you are a cricket tragic, and it is amazing that you are really up to date. Jamie Siddons, I'm not sure how he's arrived at this. Jamie Siddons has claimed that our Callum Ferguson can be the next, are you ready, Mike Hussey.
Oh. Bear me.
And has described him as the run machine, right? And that if the Australian selectors are looking for another Mike Hussey, he's the man.
How was his stats like? I know you probably got a few stats there in front of you.
Well,
last year. How did he go?
This is incredible. I just do not know how a coach can come out and officially be quoted in the press. Right, briefly, superficially, and this is where statistics can be misleading, it looks as though Callum Ferguson had a very good season last year. He actually made, in Sheffield Shield cricket, a total of 780 runs at a very in 18 innings, right?
Mm-hmm.
At a very respectable average of 52. Now, you'd say, well, gee whiz, you know, that is a very good year. Yeah. But if you break it down, and no one is going to succeed all the time, but you'd assume that the next Mike Hussey would probably do a little bit better than these statistics suggest. Would you believe of those 780 runs, 368 of them were made in three innings? That is, of his total number of runs, he scored 47% of them in three innings. Now, what that actually means is that instead of being the consistent, regular producer of runs for South Australia, he actually only had three big innings out of 18. And because he had a couple of not outs, that's boosted his average. But if you break it down and look carefully, he scored single figures five times. He scored below 20 on eight occasions and below 50 on 12 occasions. That's out of his 18
innings. That's inconsistent.
Well, it's inconsistent, and it's hardly the concept of the Mike Hussey, you know, who saved Australia 1,000 times. So, look, I'd love it if Jamie Siddons was right, but I don't think he's...
No, I don't think he's on the... He hasn't got those stats in front of him, it that way.
Well, he hasn't got those stats, and the other thing is that over the last years, and Fergie's been around for a long time playing first class.
He's getting up there too,
isn't
he?
He's 32 or 33.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is his regular type performance.
Yep.
A couple of really big scores that keeps
him... What was
him...
his top score last year?
Oh, his top... Well, you see, got that there? Yeah, 182 not out.
Yeah.
Now, you see...
That soon helps your average.
That helps it a lot.
You know.
And there's where, you know, and there's out of that number of 368,
yep,
182 of them came in one innings.
Well, that's right.
So, you know, if you're looking for the bloke who's going to bat at three or four or wherever and be the solid regular performer, then, Jamie, I don't think he's got it right.
He hasn't at all. No way in the world. Oh, let's play a kid at 21 or 22 years old that's making a few runs. Yep, he's inconsistent, but those figures there, he's no better than the young lad.
Well,
let's play a young lad.
The thing is that you're right in that he is meant to be the senior of the side, and surely the senior of the side is meant to be performing reasonably well regularly.
Yeah.
And those stats don't say that.
Consistency is what you want, isn't it?
That's right.
You know, score your 50-odd average at four, a heap of 40s and,
absolutely,
a couple of 80s.
That's the thing that you really want.
Yeah, you want that consistency.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, let's hope that the Redbacks do well. They always seem to get New South Wales early. There's one thing you can say, they're probably a bit lucky that the Test series is on, although we're missing Travi, of course. But... and speaking of the first test, that was a good performance of Travis to
get the draw. He made 70 odd.
Yes, in the second innings.
Yep.
I mean, after the duck in the first, I thought, here we go again. But he fought really well. I think
we hadn't seen much of that out of him because it was 150 odd balls,
right,
if I recall.
And that has been in the past one of my criticisms of him. The big question is, can he do it again in the second test starting? But time will tell.
Yeah.
Let's hope that. He's going to grab.
And Finch has sort of found it. You know, he was only a short form player too, wasn't he?
Yes.
And now he seems to have, you know, knuckled down, and there's a spot there for him, and you know, he's taking his opportunity.
I mean, and talking of that, the bloke who spun it round is Khawaja. I mean, I don't think Khawaja had got past 30 ever on the subcontinent.
Yep.
And to bat the way he did, let's hope that that's not a one-hit wonder either. But, I mean, his batting on Australian-type decks is very impressive, but he's always had this huge dilemma in scoring anything on the subcontinent. So that, you know, maybe it's the opportunity that they've all needed, and good luck to them.
The boys come back soon, don't they, or a couple of them do?
Well, what's going to happen, evidently, is that the second test, the boys, because of the way it is, are going to miss any who don't get picked in the second test side are going to miss this first round of Shield cricket. But what's evidently going to happen is that they can come back and get valuable match practice for the second one.
You probably misunderstood that. What about the captain and the Warner and these boys?
They don't play at all.
Doesn't one come back after Christmas?
After
Chrissy, someone comes back.
Smith and Warner don't get to play.
Bancroft.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. He comes back after Chrissy. So,
but the other two...
I mean, he won't go straight back into the test side.
Well, of course, there's another interesting piece of politics. I mean, I don't think Warner will ever get to play for Australia again.
Oh, really?
I think he's spoilt the book a bit too much. I think Smith will.
Mm.
But we'll wait and see.
Wow. Okay, you've heard it first.
You have.
Now, have we got a joke, Rick?
Well, we have got a joke. Actually, we might go with the cricket joke,
Been passed by a producer?
It has been passed by the producer.
Okay.
You wouldn't believe this, but two wicketkeepers died and they both went to heaven.
News.
It is. St. Peter said to them, "Now, either of you who've ever cheated or appealed without reason or sledged a batsman, step forward and ask for forgiveness." One of them stepped forward and asked for forgiveness. St. Peter said, "Come on in and bring the other deaf bastard with you."
Fair enough.
And did you hear about the other cricketer?
No.
He turned up at practice.
Yeah.
He said, "Hey," to the coach, he said, I'm sorry, I'm late, but my dad got burnt." And the coach said, "I'm sorry, is it serious?" He said, well, they don't mess around at the crematorium."
Oh, no. There you go.
Well, you ask for the jokes, you get them.
We're probably just about at time.
I think we are. Well, it's been an interesting show, actually.
Yeah, a bit of everything.
A bit of everything.
Bit of cricket.
Bit of everything. So, until next time, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.